BG Mania, a video game music podcast for June 23rd, 2021, is presented by LevelDownGames.com. You're listening to Rift Apart from Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, released June 11th, 2021, composed by Mark Mothersbaugh and Wataru Hokayama. What's up, BG Maniacs? Welcome to another episode of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. I, of course, am your host, Brian, and we'll be doing something a bit different today, but more on that in just a second. Real quick, if you'd be so kind, head on over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on, and drop us a quick rating and a review on there to help our visibility in terms of search results. Okay, so Frank has been an extremely busy dude as of late and was unable to meet up with me to knock out this week's show. However, Kyle and I this week had a stellar discussion on Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, the game we're focusing on today, and from what I can tell, there aren't a ton of crossover listeners between BG Mania and the Level Down Games podcast. And if you aren't listening to the LDG podcast, I highly implore you to check it out at some point. A lot of work goes into it weekly, and from what we've been told, it's usually pretty good. But because a vast majority of you have likely not heard the conversation on that show, and because I really don't want to do multiple solo podcast episodes this week, as it's pretty draining and boring for me, I'm going to edit in that discussion Kyle and I had in between the tracks for this week. So, before we cut to that, let's get the episode started with the first block of three tracks. Keep in mind, because this is a solo focus episode, I'm not going to mention every time that these tracks are from Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Just know, everything is from that game, which was released on June 11th, 2021, and everything you're hearing today is composed by Mark Mothersbaugh and Wataru Hokayama. You're listening to Festival of Heroes. You're listening to Sweet Home Sargasso. You're listening to Ride Through the Omniverse. Kyle, you're here with me, and we are actually talking about a game that I briefly talked about last week when it was just myself on the show. We're talking more Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, a game you and I have been just, man, I think we've fallen in love with this game.
I honestly have. I have put more time into this game, I think, than I anticipated putting into it.
You're probably further ahead of me now.
You think
because,
so?
Well, yeah, you played when I was streaming, and you got to watch, like, the E3 conferences while playing the game.
I wasn't playing Ratchet and Clank while I was playing, but you did have to edit the videos and upload them and stuff like that. So, I didn't play while I was watching your streams and stuff. But at any rate, yeah, you had a lot more to do than I did over the weekend, and so I did play a bit.
I made it to the, like, scrapyard, the third area.
The scrapyard.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm further than you.
No. I've had more than three areas. I'm just trying to think. The scrapyard.
Like, where you go to get your communicator fixed. It's not. I guess it's not really a scrapyard, but...
Is it like a wide open desert?
No. It's, like, in space, and it's, like, it's the second area you go to with Rivet and Clank when you're trying to get your communicator fixed. It's after you leave Sargasso.
Is it like a space station?
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, okay.
Sort of, yeah. I guess space station, I guess probably better way to say it than scrapyard, but I think it's called scrapyard or something. It's called something like that. Like, that's
I think you might be right. Yeah, but there's like a bunch of spaceships like parked on there and there's mechanics around.
Yep. Yeah.
And then there's like a nightclub.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. That's where I'm at.
Okay, right on. That's actually a really cool area. It's a smaller area.
It seems a lot smaller because the other two, you know, the main planets that you've been on, the one with Ratchet, the one with Rivet, they're okay. They're open. They're not as open as I thought, like I mentioned last week, but they are much more open than the other Ratchet games.
The next one you're about to go to is much more open.
Good.
It is a very large open area. Not like, I still wouldn't call it open world. It's just a wide open level. But yeah, this game has just blown me away with the different worlds that you're going to. You know, I really thought I would be blown away with like the whole this rift mechanic of tethering yourself into rifts and pulling yourself into different places. Not that that isn't completely incredible. There are some sequences where you are going through these kind of interdimensional portals that is just mind-boggling. But that being said, I'm most impressed by the different worlds that they've created and how unbelievably good it looks.
Yeah, it is truly a stunning game. Definitely probably the best so far on PS5 in terms of visuals, I would say.
Well, and when we talk about that, I think maybe the best looking game I've ever played. I know that sounds crazy because it's not like a photorealistic game, right? It is kind of in this cartoony, you know, fun style, very bright colors, lots of weird effects going on all over the place. But it just is so crisp looking, so clean. Now, and you can play it in different modes of kind of graphical fidelity, too. You can play it in 60 FPS, but then it goes down to 2K, I think, like a 1440.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think if it's in 4K, it's just 1080.
It's 30 FPS with ray tracing.
No, I'm sorry. If it's 60, it's 1080 with ray tracing or something.
Is that what
like
it is?
That. And then if it's 4K, it's 30. But then there's another one that's like a more balanced mode. They have three options.
Right. And I'm playing it on 4K, 30 FPS with ray tracing.
Okay. I'm playing on the balanced mode, whatever that ends up doing for me.
Yeah, the TV that I'm playing on is 75 inches. And I would rather the good resolution than the fast frame rate, I think, for the purpose of the TV that I'm playing on. I think if I was on a smaller TV, I might go for the faster frame rate. But, I mean, I don't notice any dips in frame rate at the 30 anyways. It looks just gorgeous. And at 4K, I mean, it's like you said, it's visually stunning.
Yeah, it definitely is. And even just on how I've been seeing, because I think mine varies between, like, 1080 and 2K or whatever at different times. I'm not sure exactly what it's doing when it's doing that like balanced mode or whatever.
You're listening to Ode to Nefarious. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Blizzar Primed and Ready. You're listening to Molinoth Means Paradise. I did, like I said last week, I was kind of going into this and I set myself up because I thought it was going to be open. And it's cool that the next planet is, but did you notice that, like, when they had the presentation for the game in that state of play, they showcased the second planet, the Sargasso, with Rivet when you're riding around on those little skeeters. And he's like, this is just like one of the ways you're able to do this thing. And when I was going through that, I was like, wait a second, this is the only way to do this. Like, there was no other way. So they made it seem like there were going to be like multiple ways to go about and do things. And at least to what I've noticed so far, that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably true. I think more along the lines of what he's talking about is one of the ways that you're going to be able to travel around the world. There are ways coming up.
And I think that's probably what he meant, but I think it was poorly
communicated,
executed
probably
during the state of play.
Yeah. Now, to that effect, too, there is a mode coming up in the next world that you'll get to that is really fun, a really fun way to travel around the world that you get kind of addicted to this way that you'll be a Ratchet in this next world, and you get addicted to the way that he's moving around. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's really, really fun, and you have to use it in pretty clever ways in order to get certain items and stuff. The way that they've kind of, and like I said, those rift portals that you're tethering yourself to and pulling into, the pocket rifts, pocket dimensions that you have to go into to collect certain things.
That's what I've really been enjoying, the optional content that's kind of like littered throughout the different
worlds.
There's
quite a bit of it.
There is, yeah. Even on the first, you know, two planets, and I'm sure there's even more when they get bigger, so I mean, it's kind of cool. And there's even areas that you, I'm assuming, are going to have to come back to, because right. I was able to explore most of the second planet, but there was still like one area that I just couldn't get up there yet.
Yes, the planet that you're on, the space station that you're on right now, there is a golden bolt that I cannot get, and I'm positive it's something that I haven't unlocked yet.
Yes, and I like that, because that brings in more Metroidvania aspects.
Absolutely,
I guess.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a lot reminds me of, funny enough, Jedi Fallen Order in that regard.
Honestly, there's a lot of comparison to be made there, I think. And another game that I loved for the kind of different travel aspects of it.
Me too. Great game. I think it's getting a PS5, Xbox Series X S upgrade soon.
I believe I saw that. Yeah.
If it's not already, so. You're listening to Cascading Entropic Fissure. We'll be right back.
This is Kyle, and one day you can be too. Every Friday, I host what is soon to be your favorite podcast, The Media Files. Me and one of my best friends talk about pop culture happening so that you don't look like an uncultured swine during those boring water cooler conversations. Laughs are shared, tears are cried, and sometimes we have really interesting special guests that you might be familiar with. Download The Media Files wherever you download podcasts, and remember, be kind, be honest, and we'll see you later.
You're listening to Glitch in the System. You're listening to The Battle for Sargasso. the soundtrack, man. I've been loving what Mark Mothersbaugh did for the soundtrack. You know, the guy from the B-52s or whatever. What were they called? Devo, right? No.
Devo, yeah.
Yeah, it was Devo.
Is that right?
I think it was Devo. Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Anytime he's involved with music for video games, it's always so out there and it's always so different because, you know, he did the music for the one of the Crash Bandicoots as well.
You know, I was messaging a buddy of mine about pretty much about everything about this game, the soundtrack, the colors, the visuals, the gameplay, you know, and he mentioned even with the soundtrack, but the way that the game looks and the way that the game plays, he says, we're starting to get to this uncanny valley a little bit of video games, where we're starting to catch up to like animated movies almost.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are parts where you'll have a cutscene in this game and the cutscene will end and I won't know the cutscene ended.
And you're still just standing there waiting.
Yeah. About 3 seconds later, I'm like, oh, it's my turn, you know, and then I've got to move. But it looks that good. It's just really, really impressive. And I mean, the music plays right into that, too. The music is not phoned in at all. It feels like an original soundtrack for, you know, some big animated film.
Yeah, the tracks feel long. They get, I mean, they feel trippy at times. But I mean, you're kind of in this trippy situation, right? You're in this interdimensional thing with all these weird things going on, and I think the actual music, I was just kind of sitting there listening to it. I was like, man, this really, really captures that sci-fi feel really well, and I think that's been adding a lot to my enjoyment of the game, just because I've been having a blast. I've been going out there, and it's also been fun trying to collect all of the Raritanium.
Yes.
You mentioned the Golden Bolts, which I actually like that they do things in the game.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, me too.
As you collect them, they, say, change the color of your weapon or, you know,
they call them cheat
various
codes in the game.
Yeah, more or less, they're cheat codes, but really they just affect certain cosmetic things. And, you know, I at least from what I've collected so far, I haven't noticed any that drastically change anything about the game, but it does allow a little bit of customization. Same thing with the pieces of armor, you know.
Now, this is one of my favorite parts of the game, is the pieces of armor that you can collect. They are, for the most part, kind of difficult. They're kind of side missions that you have to get. But once
pocket
you collect
dimensions.
It...
Most of them seem like they come from those pocket dimensions.
Some of them. A lot of them don't. But once you collect that piece of armor, you get the bonus from the armor, even if you're not wearing it. So you're not forced to wear armor to have the bonus, and then, you know, forced to wear a piece of armor that maybe you don't think aesthetically looks very good just to get the bonus from that armor. You can wear any armor you want or no armor, and you can change the color of any armor piece, which is so much fun to do. And I'm so glad that I'm not like bound to wearing certain pieces of armor just to get those bonuses.
Yeah, that definitely was a surprise to me, because, you know, it's one of those things you don't really see things like that. So
yeah, very wise
decision
making.
The closest we get is Warcraft, with being able to hide your helm and
or transmog,
hide your shoulders,
right?
Or transmog, exactly. So, you know, getting that ability, I thought that was actually really cool.
So did I, man.
But yeah, the Raritanium that you get to upgrade your weapons, they're these like grid-based, skill-based trees that each weapon that you can buy from the what's her name, the vendor? Oh man,
Miss Xenox,
Zircon or
Zircon,
something,
yeah, Miss
something,
Zircon,
like
something like
that. She's an undercover agent for the Resistance.
And she's so giddy about it. It's so
funny.
Oh,
man. Yeah, she's so excited to be doing this undercover work. There's so many weapons, and they all do so many, like, different things, and they're so creative. Like the pixelated gun, or the ray gun, or the gun that shoots the little fungi out, or the lightning rod. Like,
and they,
oh,
and they
man,
have their
so
uses, too.
Cool. They do.
I
they
use
have
almost
their
every single gun.
Yeah, I rotate very, very frequently between all of them, and I try to keep them all somewhat leveled up. Like, I don't have any of my guns under level 3, I think. I've actually been using them enough to where I've been able to keep them somewhat leveled up with the story progression.
I'm a big fan of the Shatterbomb glove, which shoots the grenades out. That's
kind
of been the one that I've...
Those are perfect for boss fights,
dude. Yeah. Oh, it's great. That and the, what's it called? The cannon. It's the big... beam that shoots out.
Yeah, the big giant laser beam that like fries everything in its path.
Nullifier cannon or something like that.
Fries everything in its path. And as you level it up, the more enemies you hit, the more damage it does.
It's so fun. I mean, and all of them are fun. All of them are useful.
Yeah, and I mean, Ratchet and Clank's always been that way. Like, they've always had these crazy weapons, you know, the weapon that turned things into sheep. I'm sure you remember those commercials from back in the, you know, back in the day. So they've always been out there with their weaponry, and it's fun that they kind of keep that going. You're listening to ER Dolus. You're listening to Zordoom and Gloom. You are listening to Culmination at Coruscant 5. I've really been having a blast with this. I think Insomniac, and they said they did this game with no crunch. Did you see that?
Which I thought did was, see that. Yeah, 40-hour work weeks.
Yeah, very impressive. Very impressive.
We talk sometimes about game development studios that have earned my trust and earned, you know, my loyalty when they put something out, and Insomniac has climbed that list for me. I've loved everything they've put out for the last few years, and I love the culture they have as a studio.
It's pretty amazing how fast they do things too. Like their turnaround time from game to game, they have to have some sort of shortcuts and tricks that they figured out to be able to do this, because they went from, you know, Spider-Man to, oh man, what was the one in between? Was there something between Spider-Man and Miles Morales for Insomniac? I feel like there was.
No, there might have been. But at any rate, you're right. I mean, even the turnaround from Spider-Man to Miles Morales wasn't terribly long.
And then Morales to Ratchet was like 6 months. But right. I mean, they've been working on Ratchet for longer than that.
Sure. So I mean, they're cranking out these good games. But this is the importance, too, of game direction and the, you know, a good company culture where people like working there and they have a good job. Productivity is high. The product that they make is really good and everybody likes it.
They did do a game in between Spider-Man and Miles Morales. I thought so. They did that PC VR Stormland game for the Oculus Rift. I thought they had did so. And it actually did pretty well. I mean, it's sitting at an 81 on Metacritic. Again,
that's not bad.
They don't usually, you know, make a bad game, so
right.
But I thought they had did something, and that's why I didn't remember, because I never played it, because I don't have an Oculus and never really look into VR stuff that often. But I'm super interested to know where they're going to go from here now, right? Now that Ratchet and Clank is out, now that they're a Sony first party studio, what are we going to get next from them? Do we get a Spider-Man 2? Do we get Sunset Overdrive 2? Since Sunset Overdrive is, you know, coming to PlayStation 5 supposedly, and they own that IP. Or do we get another Ratchet?
I would not be surprised to see a new Sunset Overdrive.
Me neither. And I mean, it's Insomniac, right? We know they're going to pump out more games than probably any other studio over the course of the next few years that is within Sony. So we'll probably get all of those before we get one game from, say, Sony Bend or something like that. So it's crazy how fast they work there. I wonder how many people are actually, you know, how many internal studios they have, I guess, at Insomniac to be able to do that. Because they're always so good, man. Like I said, I'm having so much fun with Ratchet. I'm glad to see that it did sit so high on OpenCritic and on, you know, the Metacritic for, what was it, 89, I think, on OpenCritic. So
last week, yeah.
Yeah, so not bad. Not bad at all. Not quite the 92 that I thought it would come in at last week.
It's too bad.
But I think I'm leaning around that area, though. Like, in terms of if I were to sit down and pen a review for this, I would say probably somewhere around the 9, right? That's kind of where I'm at right now.
9 or 9.5 for me. There's very little to dislike about this game.
I haven't really disliked anything yet. You know, there have been a few times where I've gotten stuck, say, on terrain that I shouldn't have gotten stuck on.
Yep.
But
yep. I've had that happen as well.
That's not a huge, where your character gets like stuck floating in space or whatever.
Right.
And you have to hope that you just catch on to something and can jump off or whatever.
Yeah. You spam jump a couple times until he falls to the ground. Right.
Right. And then I had one time, and it was very early in the game during the parade route, actually, where I fell off when I was bouncing on a balloon. And I fell for eternity. Like, it was one of those bugs where I actually died.
I haven't had one of those yet.
That's the only time I had it. And it, like I said, it was the very beginning of the game. I was just fucking around. I was showing Jessica, you know, how pretty it looked. And I bounced right off a balloon and I just kept falling. And she's like, oh, that doesn't look good. And I was like, yeah, probably not. But I mean, I haven't really encountered it since. And even the terrain bugs, as I've gotten further into the game, the terrain was mostly just in Necropolis City where I would get stuck on things, I noticed, with Ratchet. Like, once you got to Sargasso, I didn't really notice any issues with Ribbit getting stuck on terrain.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, I haven't really had too many issues.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that probably would keep it from being like a perfect 10 out of 10 for me.
I could agree with that, yeah.
But it is a fantastic game that I think anybody that enjoys these style of games would love. Fucking dude, Davy Cakes, platinum the game in...
Unbelievable, man.
15 hours, like I said last week. It's what a god. Insane. Yeah, and it makes me want to platinum it because I guess it's not that hard. Like, that's an easy platinum trophy. It only took him like 15 hours or something like that.
There are some tough stuff to find, though. The is it the teddy bears or something like that that are scattered around? Those are not marked on the map, and they can be tough to find.
They can be tough to find. So, you know, if you're opposed to, I guess, using a guide or something to get the trophy, then it might take you a while. But when I go for a platinum, I usually follow a platinum guide.
Right.
Just makes it so much easier.
Oh, sure it does, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. I haven't gotten a platinum trophy in a while, so maybe... Maybe, but I don't know, because that one is a short one. That is unfortunately going to bring us to the close of the show for this week. We want to thank you for sticking with us and listening to another episode of BG Mania, made possible, of course, by leveldowngames.com. And thanks again to Kyle for being on the episode, even though it was recorded for a different show. Don't forget to submit tracks, ideas, and requests for future episodes to BGMania at leveldowngames.com. Regardless of the podcast service you're listening through, be sure to show your support by leaving a rating and a review, especially if you're listening through Apple Podcasts. We'd also be grateful if you can drop on over to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/leveldowngames and subscribe to us there. And if you haven't already, while you're at it, hit up twitch.tv/leveldowngames and click that follow button. Stalking us on social media is perfectly acceptable. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook would be the place to do so. Check that description box for the appropriate links. And of course, in that description box, you will find a link to our Discord server. Click it, join it, and interact with us. Taking us out of this episode, we're going to be taking a listen to Join Me at the Top, which is the credits music from Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, released again June 11th, 2021, composed by Mark Mothersbaugh, Wataru Hokuyama, Robin Atkin-Downs, and Armin Shimmerman. Keep the music playing, and keep it loud. La la, la 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 la. Alone at last, stuck at the top. If I ever lost, I think I'd just drop. My never-ending story of success is a lonely refrain, so I've one request. Join me at the top. Why don't you join me where the stars all shine? And join me at the top. Why won't you join me? Let our powers combine. You know I can't resist a ditty, so join me. Oh, wait, well, what a pity. Looks like I forgot.
They can't come up.
'Cause I'm everything you're not.
Nope.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I said that's pretty good.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Look at me and my flawless schemes. The kind you could never dream up in your dreamiest of dreams. Aren't you so lucky to have me to revere? Your flawless yet lawless emperor right here. Join me at the top. Why don't you join me where the stars all shine? And I will never flop. No, I won't. Just join me. Go on, fall in line. And no one's given me good reason to stop my usual power season. Join me at this spot. I forgot. I'm everything you're not. Who am I?
Our greatness.
And who are you?
Wait, I'm not gonna sing this.
You're no good without me. What? How dare you ever doubt me? What? Now listen as the doctor sings the case.
They join you at the top.
Yes, they would.
Join you where the stars all shine.
And boy, I'm so freaking hot.
You're scalding.
I should have them up.
But you will not.
It's all kinds of rad.
And hilarious.
To be all big and bad.
And nefarious.
To join me on my plot.
Never mind. Forgot.
I'm everything.